Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, April the 8th. A pretty decent day here in the Dallas area. I do want to begin with a quick personal message, if I may. We attended today the funeral ceremony. It's more of a celebration of life. The funeral is actually going to be on Monday at the military cemetery. But we attended today a celebration of life for our friend Robert Jaggers, Bob Jaggers, who passed away last week. Mr. Jaggers, of course, a family friend, a World War II veteran, a D-Day veteran, a decorated veteran, a man who wrote several books, a man who was quite a personality around town because he would visit schools and work with kids. He was a real gentleman in every sense, truly an officer and a gentleman, if I could put it that way. Well, he passed away a week ago. He was 98. And today they had a wonderful, absolutely wonderful celebration of life. There were several people there, several veterans who were there. And it was just great. It was great to see his family and to hear from his family and to hear from his friends. So rest in peace, Bob Jaggers. You were truly a great American, a great man. And, well, you left us a great legacy. That's all I can tell you. Well, a few stories today. Gun control is back in the news. Opposition to the Texas and Georgia legislation continues to grow, but in a weird sort of way. It's growing up, but in a weird sort of way. I mean, you know, when you are really opposed to a piece of legislation, you don't give speeches about it. You do something about it, and it doesn't look like the Democrats want to do anything about it. But let's begin with a post that I have a bit at the American Thinker Thursday morning, where I talk about the damage that all of this legislation, all of this about removing the All-Star Game from Atlanta is having on the businesses of the city of Atlanta. The All-Star Game, of course, used to be just a game, but now it's a big day. It's a three-day business. And this is having a very bad impact because a lot of businesses were, you know, looking forward to a little extra revenue. You know, you have a pandemic. A lot of these businesses are operating literally day to day. And here you have an opportunity to, you know, pick up some extra revenue with the All-Star Game. And, you know, some of your politicians force the commissioner to move the game. By the way, we're still waiting for the commissioner to issue a statement or explain to the fans why he decided to do this. We have not heard directly from the commissioner. He needs to have a press conference. He needs to answer some questions about his decision. So far, he hasn't. But anyway, the game was moved. And the economic impact is tremendous, a tremendous economic impact on many of these businesses, businesses that were probably hoping to turn things around with the All-Star Game because you get a lot of people who come into town. So, you know, I don't know what to say other than, you know, the politicians that many of these people voted for are the ones who made this happen. Maybe the next time there's an election, you'll remember you're the politicians that you voted for. They're the ones who made this happen. You know, this did not happen because of Republican politicians in Georgia. It happened because of a certain number of Democrat politicians who are always playing the race card. And now they end up costing the city of Atlanta, particularly the businesses in Atlanta, the small businesses, they end up with a problem. They're not going to be able to make up all the losses from the pandemic. Many of them may have to close because of this. So remember that. Just remember that the next time you vote, all the citizens in Atlanta and in the state of Georgia. Well, President Biden today had a press conference, I guess, or read a statement, you know, like he does. And he is apparently going to issue some gun control executive orders. Exactly what those gun control executive orders are going to do beats me, but he's going to be issuing some executive orders, and that's about the extent of it. Now, the reason I don't take this very seriously is because they're executive orders, and executive orders are just going to end up in the courts. If President Biden was truly, truly interested in dealing with this problem, he would go to the American people and say, my fellow Americans, I mean, he would do this at night, not at 11 o'clock in the morning when nobody's watching. He would do it in the evening, a prime time speech from the Oval Office, where he would explain to the American people why he's proposing to Congress these changes. Not by executive order, but going to Congress and asking Congress to formally make these changes so that we can formally make these things happen. He's not, you know, he issues executive orders. Well, you know what an executive order is. An executive order is a president who doesn't have the votes in the Congress to get anything done. And in gun control, he doesn't even have all 50 Democrats. Because Democrats like Manchin of West Virginia and Tester of Montana, they're not going to go along with gun control because they represent states with huge rural populations, and it's going to be really hard to sell to those populations gun control. So, again, it's nothing but wishful thinking on the part of the Biden administration. These executive orders are not going to have any impact whatsoever on anything. It's just cosmetics. It's just over the, you know, just on the surface. They're not going to do anything. And as I said before, if President Biden really cared about this and really, really wanted to do something about the violence, he would give a speech calling on Congress, yes, let's take a look at some of these, let's take a look at the problem, but also let's take a look at what's happening in the country. What are some of the cultural factors? What are some of the family factors? You know, what's going on in the country that people are shooting each other for no apparent reason? That's what we need to have a conversation about. Guns are not the problem. Guns are just pieces of metal that people use. What I want to find out is what leads a man to pick up a gun and just shoot people. That's what we need to have a conversation about. Because that man is going to find that gun, whether it's legal or illegal. He's going to get it. And if he cannot find a gun, he'll get a knife, as we've seen in Europe. And if he cannot get a knife or a gun, he'll take his car and throw it against people, as we've seen in Europe. So, you know, the Democrats like to talk a great deal about guns. This is a big part of their dogma. But at the end of the day, it doesn't change anything. Because our problem is not the guns. The problem is some of the people who are using these guns and some of these criminals who are using guns who apparently, when they get arrested, they get released. That's the problem. So I don't think these gun control executive orders are going to go very far. I'm sure that the minute that he signs or President Biden signs them, they're going to end up in the courts, just like some of the other executive orders that he's written that have ended up in the court. So, as I say, I don't take this very seriously, but it just shows a president who doesn't have the votes in Congress. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, the Democrats are talking a good game about the Texas law and the Georgia legislation. And what I find interesting is that if you are going to say publicly that a particular piece of legislation discriminates against, let's say, minority voters or makes it more difficult for people to vote and so on and so on, if you're going to make a case like that, don't make it on television. You know, don't go on friendly shows and make that case. make your case before a judge. That's what I, you know, that's what they should do. Take it to a judge and say, judge, we believe that this piece of legislation discriminates, and here's why. We believe that this piece of legislation stops people from voting, and here's why. Well, they haven't done that with respect to the Georgia legislation. They're not going to do it here in Texas either. And if they try doing this in Georgia or in Texas, they're going to lose in the courts because there's nothing illegal. There's nothing improper about what Texas did. All that Texas did was to make it more difficult to cheat, not more difficult to vote. Big difference, more difficult to cheat rather than to vote. You can vote. I mean, you got early voting. You've got absentee voting. None of that has changed. None of that has changed. And I think in Georgia, they actually extended the early voting to 17 days. So if you cannot vote in Georgia, it's because you don't want to vote, because the opportunity is there to vote. Now, why are the Democrats doing this? You know, this is, I think, puzzling a lot of us. Why are the Democrats doing this? Well, I tell you why they're doing it. They're doing it because they want to change the conversation. They don't want to talk about gasoline prices. They don't want to talk about the border. Both of these are problems for the Democrat Party. You know, the people listening may remember what the price of gasoline was on the day that President Trump took Air Force One to Florida. It was like $2.25. The price of gasoline, at least here in Texas right now, it's about $2.50, $2.55, $2.60, depending on where you buy the gasoline. But anywhere, let's say, between $2.50 and $2.60. That's an increase of about 40 cents. Well, that's a lot of money when you think about putting in a 20-gallon tank. You know, many people need a lot of gasoline to get around. So that's money that people are paying, and they're obviously getting angry about it, because that's like, you know, a daily increase in the cost of living, not only in the cost of gasoline, but if you use your car for business reasons, it's also a problem because, you know, the food that you buy has to be transported by trucks. Obviously, the trucks are going to be spending more money in gasoline. So things are going up because of the price of gasoline, and people are getting angry about this. The other issue, of course, is the border, which is becoming an absolute mess. We talked about this the other night with my friend George Rodriguez. You might want to check out that podcast. I mean, the situation down there, it's just total chaos. And, you know, the Biden administration doesn't have a clue. They have no idea of how to fix the problem because there's only one solution to the problem, and that is to return to the Remain in Mexico policy that had worked so well under President Trump. We didn't have caravans. We didn't have kids showing up on the border like this under President Trump because President Trump told them, you cannot come into the United States. You're going to have to go back to Mexico, stay in Mexico, or do the documentation from your own country. Once that happened, well, that was the end of the caravans. But here we go. We have a situation on the border that is not going to get any better anytime soon, and we have a Biden administration that does not have a clue about fixing this problem. So the Democrats don't want to talk about any of this. They don't want to talk about it because these are two very difficult problems, particularly with elections coming up in roughly a year and a half. And that's why they're talking about, you know, violations of rights in Georgia, violations of rights in Texas. They want to change the conversation. That's what this is all about. Well, I want to take you back to this day in history, 1974, this evening in Atlanta, Georgia. Henry Aaron hit number 715, number 715, to become the all-time home run leader. He passed Babe Ruth, number 715. I remember watching that on TV. It was a really dramatic moment for those of us who grew up remembering 714 and Babe Ruth and Henry Aaron. It was a pretty exciting moment, as I recall watching it on TV. So, Henry Aaron, that would have been 47 years ago today, hitting number 715. It was a great moment. Great moment for me, and a great moment for the country. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.